This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oh, what a difference a week makes. Last week at this time, it was sunny, as I recall, and right now it is not.
No, well, it's still sunny. We are just hampered with the clouds blocking the sun out.
And there's rain, and in fact, I just talked to one of the forecasters at the National Weather Service in Medford. We've gotten almost a half an inch of rain since midnight.
Here
in Roseburg. It's the Roseburg Regional Airport.
Well, how do the people in Medford measure our rain?
Because it's called computers, using the internet.
Oh, I see. And so they don't just come up and check the box.
Of course, a lot more expected this evening. And looking ahead for the weekend, between Saturday late afternoon and Sunday evening, if I remember right, probably over 2 inches of rain expected.
Through the week?
Just this Saturday afternoon through Sunday evening.
Oh, I see.
So people that are planning to do things in the yard, it ain't going to happen unless you want to get wet doing them.
Yeah, just go out in your bathing suit. That's all.
Well, but certain things like I did get the leaves out of my backyard by the tree behind the master bedroom.
That overhangs your house and your gutters.
Yeah, so I got those leaves out in front of the house now, out in the, by the parking area.
Good.
And so they're out. Mowing was going to be next, and then I had something come up Sunday that required my attention, and so I didn't get to mowing. That remains undone, and obviously not going to be happening for probably another week.
I would say you're correct in that.
I also noticed that what's the large plant in front of my picture window?
I don't remember.
Hydrangea, maybe?
Yes.
Okay. You do remember. And I was thinking, I really need to get that trimmed up before we get it closer to spring.
Yeah, go ahead.
Except
and trim
it's budding out.
Still budding.
Okay. You've got green growth.
Good.
But you don't want to trim it now, do you?
Well, you could, but I would wait till after it bloomed.
Yeah, which means next fall.
No. It doesn't bloom all summer.
It does pretty good.
Yeah, it'll have a spring burst and then maybe a little bit into June, but then it starts to grow the new leaves. When it starts growing new leaves, go ahead and prune it.
So you mean like in the middle of the summer?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that one's going to pass, probably.
Yes, it will. Don't worry.
You can speak to my wife.
Well, I don't speak to ladies. Only the husbands.
Why did you cut that?
Yeah, because Mike told me to.
Yeah, well, so that's not done. So, and a lot of people, I think, are finding themselves in the same position. Here we are almost to the official beginning of spring. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, right now we are just over a week away from spring officially being here, and yet a lot of people have not gotten out and gotten any pre-spring work done, and now we have all this rain.
Well, that's how people are. They don't want to do that. That's why I existed for 50 years in my business.
Uh-huh. So if you need help figuring this out, you need to call Mike Winters.
You could call me, and then I come out and give a consultation or something like that, and recommend somebody to do the work for you. Even.
And maybe you're not going to go out and actually trim up the trees or any of that.
Well, if it's something small, I would.
Yeah, like about 12 feet up.
Maybe.
I don't think that's happening.
Anyway, if you have a question about your lawn, your garden, your trees, your hydrangeas, whatever, you can call 673-4464. We'll get you right on the air, and you can ask your question, and we can have a conversation, and I will give you the answers that will be very correct, so don't sweat it. Anyway, since we've been, we experienced kind of a short dose of spring a few days ago, the next few weeks will be getting, I think, a little warmer, but a little wetter. And the forecast, like Kyle just mentioned, is calling for some more rain, and which is good. This is still March, and I expect March to continue to rain, and then we get into April, and we'll actually have some warm, sunny days. days, you know, maybe two or three of them in the row, and that's good. So, but and we are still in a very good time for pruning our fruit trees and any wild shrubs that are overgrown their locations, like your driveway or your carport or your chimney or something like that, the sidewalks, all that stuff. So you can do the light pruning now, and you're not going to hurt anything. But the heavy pruning is one of those where heavy pruning where you're taking 50% or more off of a shrub or a tree. You might want to wait till the next dormant season goes by, which would be mid September to about February, that kind of thing, and you'll be safe. They'll be okay. Of course, I have pruned things in the middle of summer just to see how they would react. Shrubs, and I've even pruned trees in the middle of summer just to see if there would be any damage occurring, or would they just give it up and die and all the leaves would fall off or what. And so far, I've not experienced any death in any of my fruit trees or shade trees or any of that in my yard. So you can do it. Kind of step back and make sure that you're doing it correctly, and don't be too wild. There's been a few times where I've had to take out a whole limb that was, say, half dead, and it was maybe, and I thought, well, if the tree dies, it dies. But it wasn't a very big tree, and it was kind of an ugly shape, but I took the big limb out, and by golly, what I left leafed out within a couple of weeks and was beautiful. So you never know what that tree or that shrub's going to do. Most of them want to survive, so they have that energy in them, and if you prune them, they're gonna show some new growth for you. So but I would kick back on the real heavy pruning. The light stuff can be done anytime, but get out there in the rain, get wet, and get your stuff in shape so that when they start blooming, they're beautiful, and you can square them up, round them up, or make a Mickey Mouse head out of them, whatever turns you on there. So top them out and get them cleaned up and thinned out before summertime, and you'll see. And several box stores like by Mart and some of those kind have some plants for sale already, and the nurseries, of course, are loading up with their new plant materials. So now's a good time to get shopping, and on a good wet rainy day, it's a great time to do it, because you won't have any crowds in any of these places. There'll be a few hardcore gardeners out there looking for some good sales, but this is time to see all the brand new stuff coming in. From now until, gee whiz, about May, you got good selections of things coming in. Usually after mid-May or so, you don't order any plants. Nurseries don't. So you got your hand on the trigger. What's that?
I do, because we have a phone call. You're on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. What's your comment or question?
Well, I don't want to see you in a bathing suit.
Well, wow, I'm hurt now.
Anyway, I've heard both ways. When you go to plant like a shrub, azalea, whatever, take all the dirt off the roots, or leave all the dirt on the roots.
Leave all the dirt on the roots, because those roots are using that soil. I call it soil, not dirt. There's still nutrition to be derived from that soil, so you want to keep that intact. You can run your finger up and down the sides of it just to kind of break the form, because if the plant's been in a pot for a while, you take it out. It's just, the root ball's the same shape as the pot. You know, take your finger or maybe a knife or something and just kind of scar it up around the edges and all that, and then plant it, and that way the roots are going out instead of in a circle.
Okay, dirt on. All right, thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. That was an easy question.
All right, you can call in as well at 673-4464.
Yeah. So, anyway, we're talking about why don't you go plant chopping? It's what's the date today?
It is the
12th.
Yeah.
12th. Yeah, it's okay. I don't think we're going to have any more killing frosts or anything like that, unless you see otherwise in your horoscope out there.
I haven't seen anything that far. I'm just waiting for the first 80.
Uh-huh. The first what?
80-degree day.
Don't hold your breath, partner. And, you know, but who knows? Never can tell. But, like I said, the nurseries are loading up with new plant material, so now's a good time for selection, especially if it's raining, because there's not too many people out there doing that unless they're a hardcore gardener in their own time. And, you know, this is a good time for the first fertilizing of your yard plants or your lawn, so you want to do it lightly and repeat in about a month, and you can do your lawns as well. And by April, you're going to see some real good results. Just don't overdo it. You can always add more fertilizer later on, but go lightly the first time out of the box, okay? And same way with watering, and I've only said that 358 times here over the last how many years I've been on this program? 20?
Over 20.
Over 20?
Yeah.
And I'm still talking?
Jeez, you are, please. Yeah.
People are still listening, too. Well, thank you for listening. But and if you're out shopping for new plants, like I said, don't buy too many to start with. Get what you buy, get them planted, and you can always, you know, get more later. And when you take the plants home and you say, well, this is the area I'm going to plant them in, before taking them out of the pot or digging a hole or anything else, just put them in while they're still in their pots. Just put them where you think they're going to go and stand back and look at them. Maybe look at them for a day or two and say, is that too far away, or is it too close? Are they too close together, or are they too close to the house, or too close to the driveway, or whatever? You know, just eyeball them, because they're going to grow, and you don't want to jam them up in there, and they're fine for 3 years, and then all of a sudden they're a real maintenance hassle, and not doing so well because they are too crowded. And but while they're still in a pot, you haven't dug any holes, and just say, okay, that looks good. Keep them there for a week. Ask your kids, hey, does that look okay? Well, of course, they're going to say, yeah, that's, as long as I don't have to dig the holes. At any rate, go ahead and get them now. Put them out. You won't have to do anything to them. I mean, it's going to be rainy probably for another month, I would say. Kyle knows all that information. I sure don't.
Well, hopefully we have some good breaks of sunshine.
Well, I would like to see a good break of sunshine for, you know, 2 or 3 days. Then it can rain some more. You know, it's always good. And anyway, when you're placing these plants out, like if you're going to go along your driveway or something, make sure you give those plants ample room, so that if you pull in your driveway and you open the driver's side door, you don't cut them in half with the door. So make sure they're back sufficient distance so that you don't damage them or walk on them or anything like that. And same way with when you're putting them against the foundation of your home or a garage or a shop or something like that, give them ample space so they're not right up against the structure. Give them a couple of feet away from at least a couple of feet if they're small plants. You know, maybe some azaleas or you know, something along those lines that aren't going to grow too large. You know, they still need a couple of feet, and they need that air circulation. Air circulation is a biggie for good plant health, because if there's no air circulation in up against the structure or anything like that, that's a perfect haven for bugs to get in and things that you don't want, chewing on your plants, that kind of stuff. The more air circulation, the more partial sunlight that you get, the healthier your plants are going to be, provided you're watering correctly and fertilizing correctly. So especially, like I say, along a driveway or a sidewalk or something like that. Over the years that I spent landscaping in Douglas County, the biggest mistake I've seen is plants where they were planted too close. And when I got calls for folks that said, oh, my landscaping is fairly old, and I did this and did this, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and I don't know what to do now. And I asked them about their pruning method. Have you been pruning them? Well, yes and no. What Maybe every couple of years I've cut them back a little bit, but they're still way too big. they like I said, they were nice when we put them in, but it's been, like I say, 3 or 4, 5 years, and they're so crowded and not looking good. So I always make sure I ask questions about, you know, when they did it and why. And here's the thing. When you're out shopping for plants, you want to ask the proprietor or the person working at the nursery or the plant place is, hey, how big does this actually get? And what's the ultimate size going to be? And if you're knowledgeable about plants, still ask the questions about size and plant accordingly. Just don't crowd things up. You can always add stuff later, but once it's in, it's hard to take out. We'll be back.
All right, 420-1673-4464. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show and News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Drive carefully on your way home. We've had a few accidents out there with the rain today. Almost half an inch at the Roseburg Regional Airport and more ahead tonight. So be careful, especially as we get close to the 5 o'clock hour. More people out there on the roads and even some that seem to exit their workplace by around 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what that's like. But
well, I'm not either.
No, but people seem to do it. Once in a while when I'm running errands, I'm surprised to see traffic pick up. Although, if you really want to see something kind of dramatic, just before 5 o'clock, get yourself over like by the Adapt building in Roseburg, by the one of the bridges, and just watch. It's like a whistle has been blown. And suddenly, woof, vehicles everywhere in long lines and traffic that we never have at any other time of the day.
Oh, yeah, I know. Because you can't get out onto the side street here at 5 o'clock because there's way too much traffic going both ways. So I go a couple blocks up past Gerritsen's and turn down one
Gerritsen's.
Of those.
Gerritsen's hasn't been there in 20 years.
Well, you know where Gerritsen's used to be. Anyway, and turn down there, and it's a little bit more open. It's easier to get into the flow of traffic. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, normally I go out to Dixonville and then loop back through Roberts Creek, come back in over Looking Glass, and come down to Harvard that way.
I see. And I think this is a garden show, not to see who can lie the best. Okay. Anyway, I repeat myself a lot on buying plants and crowding plants and digging the holes correctly and giving them, you know, fertilizer and everything else. But I realize there are more and more people that listen to this show, and also it's kind of a reminder for others that listen to it regularly that this is the time to do this or this is the time to do that and this is how you do this. So it's a... And you can't help but repeat because some people get a portion of the message, but they don't get the whole message until maybe they listen to the radio show sometime in the future. So at any rate, that's we were talking about in the last segment, you know, plants that they're out there that are nice and pretty and small, and you put them in and you plant them too close, and they, like I say, they might be nice when you put them in, but just think 3 to 5 years down the road, they're too crowded and not looking good or healthy, and you have to do something with them. So make sure when you're shopping that you ask questions about spacing and what's the ultimate size of this particular plant. And the person that works in that nursery or a plant salesman of some sort should have that information. And if not, don't buy from them. Go to a place that really actually knows what they're growing and selling, and you can have a conversation about what is a better way to do this, or should I do this now, or those kinds of things. There were days when I would work the nursery, people would come in and they want this, this, and this, and we walk around looking at, and they're asking questions, and I'm making sure they have this information that I'm giving to people now on the air. And so many folks say, wow, I didn't know that. Oh, I would not have thought of that, or something along those lines. And you see them later, they come in, you know, 3 months, 6 months later and say, hey, what you said worked. Everything's looking good. So, and over the years, I spent 50 years as a landscape contractor here in Douglas County. And so I encountered all kinds of questions and challenges in those years. And I learned a lot of lessons the hard way back when I first started. But as time went on, and I knew, hey, don't do that. Space them out. Do this, do that. But anyway, if, like I say, if you're not knowledgeable about some of the plants, don't hesitate to ask the questions and get some real good information. And when I've been called by some folks that said, hey, I've got all these overgrown things and I don't know what to do with it, and if they want a consultation or maybe some quick pruning or something like that, it's because they had no idea about how large they would grow or how fast they would grow to that size. And basically, it's a problem. Everything was too close to a sidewalk or driveway or a fence or around the house. And I advise them to cut them back, and I would show them. I'd have my pruners available, and I'll say, do you mind if I prune one for you and show you what the end result would look like? And I would do that for them, depending on what kind of shrub or small tree it might have been. And sometimes the initial reaction when I was done was, they went, oh, boy, that won't die, will it? No, it won't. And encounter them sometime months later and say, how are those plants doing? Oh, they're doing fine. They're beautiful. That was a great job. You taught us a great lesson. So got to cut them. If you don't, they go downhill after a while. And so I just want to make sure that when somebody was buying something from our nursery, that they had this information, and I would give them demonstrations right there in the nursery if they needed. So when you're buying these plants, ask how large or how fast they grow. And like I said, I've seen so many times that shrubs were planted too close to the fence, or and some of the whole older, tougher shrubs like Photinia, which can grow 10 or 12 feet easily, the folks would put them along the fence line because when they're small, they got the red leaves, they look good, they're really pretty, but they're really a tough plant. And I've seen wooden fences where the Photinia were planted, you know, say within 2 feet of the fence, or three, maybe 3 feet of the fence, where the Photinia, as it grew and got stronger and tougher, it actually pushed the fence off center, and the fence was leaning into the other yard, and you don't want to create those kinds of messes at all. And as I drive around, you know, Douglas County, I see new homes with new landscaping. And I just by driving by, I see problems that they're going to have in the future by overplanting. And I don't know if the homeowner did it, or some fly-by-night landscaper did it, or somebody who doesn't know anything did it. But a lot of stuff is crowded up. And initially, like I say, first two, three, even 3 years, everything looks okay. But then they grow, and they continue to grow. And like I said, in 5 years, you're going to have a mess on your hands. And the plants are going to be too large for the landscape area that you did. So one thing to do, like I say, is to look around your neighborhood and see the landscapes in your neighborhood that are mature, and they'll give you an idea of pruning, what pruning can do, or what overplanting is like. And you can learn just by looking at your next door neighbor, and his yard is beautiful, and ask him questions. How do you do that, Bob? Well, I do this, this, and this, or I have a landscaper come in once a month or once a week or something like that. And then you'll find somebody down the street, a few more houses, that his house looks like it's belongs at Wildlife Safari because of all the shrubs and the trees that are there. And initially, it probably looked very nice and neat and clean. But, you know, it's the landscape's 5 or 6 or 7 years old. And you can't hardly tell what's what because of lack of pruning and planting things just too close together. And just think of this, with less plants, there's less maintenance too, less fertilizer, less water. And I've seen many slopes with too many juniper too close together. Juniper are tough, and one of those gallon can junipers, for the most part, on average, will grow 7 feet wide, 8 feet wide, and I've seen some that grew larger than that. And when I first started way back when, and I've told this story a few times, I planted some along my driveway that I bought at Payless back in those days for 89 cents or something like that. And I put them too close together, and 3 or 4 years later, I was yanking them out because I couldn't get out of my pickup truck. They had grown into the driveway. I'd only put them about two feet off the driveway. Well, shoot. I learned a good lesson from that, and made me aware. So, and like I say, the biggest mistake I've ever seen over the years in landscape is with trees. A new house is built on a bare lot, and the homeowner goes out looking for shade trees. You really want to ask the questions before you buy a tree for shade. You got to take in the size of your lot, the soil that you have, and how much room does this tree actually have to grow. And you want to find out how tall it's going to be, how wide it's going to grow. A lot of trees, they'll grow really wide, like most maples, especially like our maple that we have grown wild around here. It has a very large, wide head to it. And consequently, if it's anywhere close to a building, it's not going to work because eventually you're going to have to do some radical pruning to it. Again, like I say, don't plant too many trees too close together or too close to a structure. And always ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. It's good. You'll learn a lot from somebody who's actually done the work and seen the results of their work. And it's a nice tree or two makes a real statement about your home. It's a valuable item, a tree. So many homes that over the years that we landscaped and the folks later sold them would sometimes call me and tell me, hey, we sold our place and sold it very quickly because of the landscaping. And it was because it was well done and it was pruned and it was shaped. And it just adds a good landscape, really adds value to your home. So we'll be back.
All right. 4:35, Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show at 673-4464 from News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
21 minutes away from 5, the Commissioner of Dirt on your radio as we get ready for spring in the Umpqua Valley not far away.
And I'm talking about mistakes that people make and mistakes that I've made in the past in planting too many things in too small of a space and those kinds of things. But the biggest mistake I've seen over the years is with trees. A new house is built on a bare lot, and the homeowner goes out looking for shade trees because there's no landscaping there. And and they don't know anything about trees except for what they can see at a nursery and then ask questions. And you really want to make sure that you get the right answers to those questions. You don't want somebody just him and haw and guess and say, well, let's see, I think it's about 20 feet or something like that, you know, blah, blah, blah. You got to have that information. And, you know, you can call this show and ask me those questions. I'll give you the real stuff because I've already made all the mistakes, or not all of them, but many mistakes over my 50-year period of as being a landscape contractor and a nursery guy. You know, you learn from them and go, gosh, I can't do that anymore. I blew that one right out of the park. But when you buy a tree, before you buy a tree for shade, for instance, you know, how tall or how wide will it grow? Those are two questions, you know. And what's the root system going to do? Is it going to eat up my lawn, or don't do a lawn? And how fast is it going to grow? I want something that's going to give me shade on the south side of my house or on the west side of my house. And I might put a tree on the south side and one on the west side. So over the years, I'll have that that shade. And I love trees. I mean, those are my favorite plants. Trees are my favorites. And when I do a landscape job, trees are a real focal point for that yard. A nice tree, and you have to take into consideration the ultimate size of that tree. What is the size of the yard? Will it, you know, because when you go to the nursery, you buy a tree and it's still 7 or 8 feet tall and it's in a pot, and your yard is your front yard. You want to put it in your front yard, and your front yard is, say, 40 feet long or 50 feet long and 25 feet wide from the house to the street. And where do I put that tree? And should I put three of them in there instead? Well, you go slow. Put one in the middle and call it good and watch it grow and see how it grows. And then if you want to add more later on, you certainly can, because you've got some experience on how the one you got it the first time is growing and what it's looking like. And is it providing shade? Is it a messy tree? Is it still alive? Is it still healthy? Well, you can go out and get a couple more just like that or similar to that. But like I say, don't plant too many all at once or too close to a structure or a driveway or anything like that. And like I say, ask the questions like, hey, how big does this tree get? And then the seller should say, well, it gets to about 40 feet or 30 feet or 175 feet. Well, that's a giant sequoia. But and how fast will it grow? And a nice tree or two, like I say, makes a statement about your home, especially if you put it up for sale someday and the trees are, you know, been in for 10 years and they're looking good and they're shading the front, your front lawn or your back lawn on a hot day, and it just looks good and it feels good. And if you want shade, plant that tree on the south or the west side of your yard. Yeah, that's where the heat's going to be. The west side, of course, is in the middle of June or July. That's going to be the hot spot in the yard. And that's where you want to have that shade to break up that area with some nice leaves and things like that. But like I say, give it space. Don't and so that doesn't require a whole lot of pruning. Like I say, don't plant it any closer. Oh, then maybe 20 feet from the house, depending on the tree. If it's dogwood or Japanese maple, you can plant within, you know, 10 feet of the house or 8 feet of the house with a Japanese maple. That gives it plenty of room, but it's not going to be a big tree. It's not going to be a shade tree. But if you put in a couple of sweet gums, they'll eventually be 60 feet tall, not while we're alive, but somebody's going to have that, and it might be a hazard someday. So make sure that you get adequate information to do the job right, so it doesn't cost you a lot of dollars down the road and trying to take it out or get it pruned or any of those. But like I say, trees are a focal point. Just don't plant too many too close to that structure that's called your house or your shop or your garage, anything like that. Now, if you have the room, of course, and you have a very large yard, you know, you can put them out farther away, they're not gonna mess with you. And you know, shade trees come in all sizes, and like say with maples, there are so many different types of maples that are available. And I'm not talking Japanese maples; I'm talking about American maples or English maples or whatever. And there are oaks too that do a good job. Oaks are going to grow a bit slower than a maple. Maple, for the most part, is a pretty fast grower. When it's established, it'll grow an easy 2 feet a year, or even some of them will grow 3 feet a year. That's why you want to make sure that you space them correctly. The oaks, of course, are slower, and usually if you got, you know, 14, 18 inches on an oak, that's a fast oak. Usually they, you know, 12 inches maybe is what you might get in a year of any growth. But don't overdo the number of shade trees. Just you'll be sorry sometime in the future, or the new owner that buys the house says, look at all that nice shade they have in their yard, honey. And they move in and they buy it and they love it. And then 3 years later, they're going, what do we do with all these trees here? So if you're small, plant one in the front and one in the back, and as they grow, and they're going to cool your yard. They're going to cool it nicely. It's natural air conditioning, I guess. And always ask, hey, how big is this tree going to get? Yeah? And a nice tree, like I say, is a real investment and will increase the value of your property if you sell. That's how it is. People looking for a new home. You've got the brand new homes with zero landscaping and just fresh dirt all the way around. Then you've got the homes that have been there for 10 or 15 years with some nice landscaping, some nice trees. Which one do you want? And, you know, the one with the shade or the one with the dirt. But anyway, they're a great investment, and it's going to increase, like I say, the value of your property if you sell or when you sell. And too many shade trees, they can turn into a hassle with leaves in the fall, or root systems that want to dominate your lawn and eat all the nutrition from your lawn, and so your lawn goes kind of wacko and yellows up very quickly, and there's maybe some roots from that tree that have grown out into the lawn, which makes mowing more difficult, because if your mower blades hit a root that's sticking up, it's going to do some real damage to the tree root and to your lawnmower blade. But if you have a patio or a small deck that needs afternoon shade, you can plant a medium-sized tree that can be as close to your patio as, say, 10 feet, 15 feet, and you're not going to run into any of these problems I'm talking about. Now, if you go with the smaller trees, there are some Japanese maples and dogwoods that will fit the bill. There's some Japanese maples that'll grow to 15, 20 feet over the years. They're not real fast growing, but they're decorative, and they will provide a little bit of shade for you on your deck or your patio. And then dogwoods are the same. These are trees that are controllable. These are trees that respond well to pruning. And then the flowering trees would be a good choice as a small shade tree. As you drive around Roseburg or any town right now, you'll see these trees with bright pink flowers, just huge, beautiful pink flowers on them. And then there's some that are just full of white flowers. And those are the flowering cherries and flowering plums. They don't have any fruit per se, but they got beautiful flowers. And if you like something like that, you can drive around and take a look at how large they actually get. You wouldn't want to have three of them, you know, jammed too close together in your yard. It would be a waste of tree, and it would be detrimental to the tree growth over the long haul. But there's, you know, I was thinking as I was driving driving through Winston today, how many of those flowering cherries and flowering plums that are in bloom? And they're, like I say, there's some that are white flowers and some that are pink flowers, and you can't see a branch on them because there's so many flowers. They're just thousands, literally thousands of flowers on them. But like I say, a nice tree is a real investment, and it's going to increase your value, especially if you sell your house. Let's say you sell your house, you live there for 10 years, whatever, you're going to move up or move out or something, and you planted some flowering plums or flowering cherries in your front yard. I mean, that right now, a potential buyer comes up and bingo, wow, that is so cool. I like that. It's beautiful. It makes, it's good business sense. So. We'll be back in a minute.
We will. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 450 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, it's still 46 degrees, getting close to 5 o'clock, so traffic picking up. Drive carefully. We'll have the afternoon report in just a few minutes, but about 7 more minutes of the Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show for this week.
So if you have a question, get your call in at 673-4464, and we'll get you right on the air. And any questions, fair game, as long as it's about your yard, okay? I was talking in the last segment a lot about trees and shade trees and the types of shade trees that would be good and not overcrowding your place with a lot of them. But like, say you have a patio on the back in the backyard, or say a small deck that needs some afternoon shade. All right, there are a lot of medium sized trees that you can plant, and you can get them within 10 or 15 feet of your deck or patio. And I'm assuming it's just facing south or west. And, you know, there are Japanese maples that'll get give you a little bit of shade. Dogwoods, they're not only colorful and in the spring and the fall, but and a flowering tree would be a good choice as a small shade tree, but you wouldn't want to get it within 10 feet of your patio, because they do get, you know, fairly large, and they grow fairly quickly. But it would cause some nice shade for you. Steer clear of a shade tree that can grow 50 plus feet if you live in town, okay? Don't, somebody's going to live to regret it someday when it either breaks or needs pruning or something like that. But again, like I say, do your homework on shade trees prior to your purchase. There are many trees that are going to work, and there's so many trees here in Southwest Oregon that will do a great job for you. And I like dogwoods. You know, they're moderate in their growth rate. They'll be a good shade tree for a patio, of course, and they grow slowly, say to 20 feet. I've seen some that are larger. But they flower very nicely in the spring, and they have very few problems in a yard with a lawn that is watered. Make sure that any tree that you put out there in the lawn is mounded up at least 2 feet, 3 feet, nice big mound out there, and then you can decorate the rest of the mound with a lot of flowers for color in the summer and the spring, and the tree doesn't drown and does really well, and you've given it a good place. So that way the roots won't rot and the tree won't die. You'd be good to go. And of course, Japanese maples, they come in all sizes. And for shade, a Jap maple that will grow to 15, 20 feet would be a nice tree to shade your little patio. It's something you can have close to your patio. I've got several around my house that there's one I think is probably 10 or 12 feet tall now, and it's a red leaf Japanese maple. Looks really nice, and does give us a little bit of shade. It's kind of filtered shade because the leaves are small. But it depends on what your need is. Every house is different. Every location is a little bit different. And But with a good tree, once you get it in, once you plant it correctly, you want to make sure, of course, you fertilize it and on a pretty regular basis for a few years to get that root established very well. And then it'll have a good rate of growth for those years. And a healthy tree is going to grow faster than a tree that's lacking nutrition or lacking water or being overwatered. They're going to struggle. They want to live, but they're going to struggle because there's some key ingredients that are missing. And one of the key ingredients is a good knowledge base for the homeowner to take care of it properly. So like anything else, you got to educate yourself on how do I get the best bang for my buck when I buy the tree, and will it do what I want it to do? And you can have a lot of these things, but the highlight on some of these trees are the leaf color on Japanese maples and the tree shape, or you can get wild and plant three of them very close to your deck or patio, as long as they're not going to get super large and be a nuisance to you in the future, and then you could have an exotic tree garden to admire as you sipped your iced tea. And when somebody you're going to sell your house and you're showing the place off and you're showing the yard and how nice the yard is, going to attract people. If it's neatly done and it's healthy looking, it's going to attract people. And then you bring them to the backyard and you show them your patio that you built 10 years ago, and this beautiful Japanese maple or this beautiful dogwood that's shading it in the afternoon, or just it's picturesque. It's a place that they want to sit and relax and have dinner or have a sandwich or just drink iced tea or something like that. And that's what counts when you're landscaping, is what will the value of the property be when this place is properly landscaped and everything is taken care of and is healthy. That's the long range thought that every homeowner should at least examine and say, hey, is that worth it, or am I going to stay here for 50 years and then don't worry about it after that? So many people that I did business with over the years, their plan was to sell their property within the next 3 to 5 year time span, and they wanted to spruce up the yard and make sure that it was good and healthy and growing prior to them putting it on the market. So it's just good planning. Oh, boy, there's another good tree I was talking about, and it didn't give you a lot, but magnolias. Magnolias there's so many types out there that you can select. There are deciduous magnolias and there are evergreen magnolias. What, are we out of time?
We are.
I still got 3 pages of notes.
You'll have to come back next week.
Oh, okay. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, the podcast up soon at 541radio.com. And coming up on 5 o'clock, 46 degrees in the rain, so drive carefully. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.